This is the Banner of Truth broadcast, a program sponsored by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Pastor Cornelis Bronk speaking. Another fundamental doctrine of the Reformed faith is the perseverance of the saints. Briefly stated, this doctrine teaches that all who are chosen by the Father, redeemed by the Son, and renewed by the Holy Spirit cannot fall from grace, but will reach heaven. All who are united to Christ by the bond of true saving faith are eternally secure in Him. Nothing can separate them from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not all who profess faith in Christ will be saved, however. Not nominal believers, but only saints who persevere until the end will be saved. There are those who profess to believe in Christ who later fall away. But they do not really fall from grace, for they never were in the state of grace. As it says in 1 John 2 verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. Only the saints persevere. What actually is a saint? We often have wrong ideas about this word. We say of a man or a woman that he or she is a saint. We mean by that a particularly pious or holy person. But the Apostle Paul did not use the term saint in such a restricted sense. Many of his letters begin like this: to the saints in Rome, to the saints in Corinth, to the saints in Ephesus, and so on. By using this term, Paul did not imply that all these people were perfectly holy persons. Not at all. If you read the two letters to the Corinthians, for example, you will find out that some of those saints were not behaving themselves very saintly at all. According to Scripture, the word saint refers to a regenerated person, someone who is born again. Going to church alone does not make a saint. Becoming a member of the visible church won't do it either. Calling yourself a saint does not mean that you are one. No, only if you are born again, you are, in the true sense of the word, a saint. You have been regenerated. God has worked a miracle in your heart. He has made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. We now turn to the term perseverance. According to the dictionary, to persevere means to go on resolutely in spite of opposition. Now that is a good definition of the Christian life, to go on resolutely in spite of opposition. In spite of opposition of his own sinful nature, the devil, and the world, the Christian resolutely goes on, in life, in faith, and in the service of God. This is the perseverance of the saints. Let us understand clearly, however, that such persevering is not something the saint can take credit for. It is all God's work. In his high priestly prayer, recorded in John 17, the Lord Jesus prayed, "Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. When I was with them in the world, I kept them in my name, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." In this prayer we learn three important truths. First, God has given to Christ a certain number of people. They are the elect, sometimes referred to by Jesus as his sheep. Second, Jesus reports that none of them has perished, and that none shall ever perish. In John chapter 10 we find Christ saying the same thing. Speaking of his sheep, he says, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Third, Jesus says that they have not perished because he has kept them, or literally, he has guarded them. Satan has tried to snatch them from his hand, and he continues to try this all through the centuries. But the devil cannot succeed because the Father, who is greater than all, will not allow this to happen. Do you hear this? God is greater than all. That means greater than my sinful nature, greater than the world and all its temptations, yes, greater than Satan and all his demons. That is why no one can or shall snatch you out of God's hand, saints of the Lord. Your perseverance is due only to the sovereign power of Almighty God. There are many who teach that the saint has to keep himself on the way, and that it is by his own efforts that he will reach heaven. But we believe, with the Apostle to the Hebrews, that Christ is not only the author, but also the finisher or perfecter of our faith. With the psalmist of Psalm 138, we rejoice that the work he has in us begun shall by his grace be fully done. In the 19th century, Robert L. Dabney, the great Presbyterian theologian of the southern United States, put it this way: "The sovereign and unmerited love of God is the cause of the believer's effectual calling. Now, as the cause is unchangeable, the effect is also unchangeable. That effect is the constant communication of grace to the believer in whom God has begun a good work. When the Lord first began his saving work in the heart of the sinner, he was not motivated by anything attractive in that sinner. He knew that the sinner was totally depraved and an enemy of grace. Therefore, any subsequent sinfulness in the backsliding saint could not be a new motive for God to withdraw his grace. God knows what to expect. He is not surprised when he sees his people falling into sin. No, that does not mean that he condones it. On the contrary, he chastises his people for their sins by temporarily withdrawing his Holy Spirit. But as Dabney says, if God had not intended from the first to bear with it and to forgive it in Christ, he would not have called the sinner by his grace at first. To say it in other words, the causes for which God determined to bestow his electing love on sinners are wholly in God and not at all in the believer. Therefore, nothing in the believer's heart or conduct can finally change that purpose of love. Martin Luther says, God's decree of predestination is firm and certain, and the necessity resulting from it is, in like manner, immovable, and cannot but take place. For we ourselves are so feeble that if the matter were left in our hands, very few, or rather none, would be saved, but Satan would overcome us all. From this we learn that Christians do fall into sin at times. Indeed, it is a common occurrence. Even the best of men backslide temporarily. As long as the saints are in this world, their state is one of continuous warfare, and they often lose the battle. Yet they are never completely defeated. It may seem for a time that there is no faith left at all. Yet, where there is a true work of the Holy Spirit, there can be no falling away. When the backslider comes to himself, he confesses his sins, and he asks for forgiveness, which is then freely granted. Every one of God's elect is like the prodigal son in this respect. For a while he is deluded by the world and led astray by his sinful lusts and passions. He tries to feed on the husks, but they do not satisfy. Sooner or later he will cry out, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And he meets with the same wonderful reception, the token of unchanging love and a father's voice that melts the backslider's heart. This my son was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. The Bible is full of examples to show that God forgives his backslidden saints. David's sin of adultery and murder and Peter's denial of his master have been recorded to illustrate that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Be careful, however, not to pervert this wonderful truth. Don't say, all is well with my soul, if your life is not in harmony with God's law. Don't comfort yourself by saying, I may live in sin and still be saved in the end. There is something more important in the life of David than adultery, and that is his repentance. There was something more important in Peter's life than his denial of Christ, and that was his bitter weeping. How do we know that both David and Peter were true saints? Because we not only catch them in the act of sinning, but we also find them on their knees repenting. When we hear David crying out, Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and Peter weeping bitterly, when his Savior looks him straight in the eye, then we know that they are children of God and not before. Here is the mark of a true saint. He may fall into sin many times, but he cannot live in it. He cannot be happy in his sin. He will come back to the Lord with tears, confessing his sins and pleading on his mercy. Are you a saint? Are you a persevering saint? How can I know this, you ask? Well, have you ever wept for your sin? Have you ever cried for mercy? Are you striving, or as Jesus literally says, agonizing to enter in at the narrow gate, that is, the gate of repentance, self-denial, and crucifixion of the flesh? This is what it means to be a persevering saint, fighting the good fight of faith, running the race that is set before us, yet in such a way that we are wholly dependent upon the Lord for strength to fight and to run. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Therefore we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I found a friend, oh, such a friend! He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him. And round my heart still closely twine those ties with which naught can sever, for I am his, and he is mine, for ever and for ever. I found a friend, oh, such a friend, so kind and true and tender, so wise a counselor and guide, so mighty a defender. From him who loves me now so well, what power my soul can sever? Shall life or death or earth or hell? No, I am his forever. Amen.